Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
We are continuing in our study of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 6, and I'll read that very quickly to get started. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person, no covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And here we see that, remember, as we have said before, Paul's writings are reactionary. Everything that Paul wrote was to answer a problem that he was seeing in the local church. And so when Paul is talking about things, there's a reason for it. Remember, we have discussed in the past how Ephesus was the hometown to the temple of Diana, the goddess of love. And as I have told many people, Ephesus 2,000 years ago was much like Houston today. But Pastor, I mean, are we idolaters here in Houston? You betcha. We may not have any graven images that we fall down and worship, but there are definitely the temples that we go to. I remember the first time that I picked up Pastor Monachan from India, and I was taking him over to Pastor Alexander's house, who lives down 59. And we picked him up at Intercontinental Airport, and it's about 11 o'clock at night. And he was just so amazed at all the lights, because even in Delhi at night, you know, usually you can hear the generators running. You know, there's not a lot of electricity available. And here we are going down 59 south of the loop, and all you see are all these lights and all of that. And there's this one especially brightly lit establishment, which was, how do I say this delicately, a cabaret? Is that delicately enough? And he said, Oh, Pastor, look at that. That is such a beautiful place. Look at all the lights. And he was just so excited. What do they do? Are they open for business this late at night? And I said, Oh, Pastor Monachan, you betcha they're open for business. He says, What's going on in there? And I said, Let's just say that this is not a place where you should find very many Christians. I'm not saying you won't, but you shouldn't find very many Christians. And I explained what it was, and he was just aghast. There are places like that in the United States? And I said, there are places like that all over the place. So, yeah, modern-day Houston is a lot like ancient Ephesus of 2,000 years ago, and a city that is still dominated by sin and the pursuit of personal pleasure. And so what I wanted to talk about today was that Paul is saying that there are certain things that ought not to be. Now, yesterday I made mention earlier that I was up in Nacogdoches, and I rode up with a Methodist pastor and rode back with him, and we had a fun time for that 3.5 hours up there and back. We had plenty of time to discuss theology, and and all of that. And he is also one of the commanders in the area. And he brought up the subject that he had had to move someone who I knew. He had to remove him from the place of authority and put him in another place where he wouldn't be so much in front of people. And I asked him what was his reason. He said, well, there are certain level of performance that is required if you're going to wear the Air Force uniform. And one of those requirements are, if you're going to wear the Air Force uniform, you have to, for my height, I have to be no more than 225 pounds. And so I kind of blushed a little bit, and I said, but I weigh 227 pounds. And he says, well, you'd better lose 2 pounds real quick. So that is my challenge before this Tuesday. And at any rate, he said, you have to meet these requirements if you're going to wear the uniform. Because what does the uniform do? The uniform represents that branch of the military, doesn't it? And if you're going to say I'm part of this particular organization, then you should meet all of the requirements that that organization says you should meet. And the same thing applies here in the city of Ephesus for Christians living there. Paul says there are certain standards that you should meet. Now, he's not telling them they have to cut their hair. He's not telling them that they have to lose weight or gain weight, or there's a certain kind of clothing that you have to wear. He's not telling them any of that. But he's saying there are just certain things that we as believers ought not to be doing. And he starts off, and remember, excuse me, let me digress just a little bit. His writings are reactionary. So when he says something, when he points out a particular sin, this isn't theory. He's addressing a problem, not in town, but a problem in the church. Okay? And so in verse 3, he says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. And so there are certain things that Jesus, as he inspires through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, to write this letter, he is saying, these things are not only things that you shouldn't be doing, they shouldn't even be talked about. Nobody should even bring an accusation that anybody is doing these things. And the first one that he talks about is immorality, sex outside of marriage. Ought not to be even talked about in the church, let alone somebody within the church being accused of this. And impurity. Impurity is any action that will disgrace you. Impurity is any sin that defiles their body. It may not be a sexual sin, but it defiles them as human beings, and especially as believers. Remember, I told you the story when I was but 3 years old and I visited my uncle's dairy farm, and I was trying to leap across this cavern in the floor of the dairy barn, which it was probably only about this big, but that's, you know, in a dairy barn, you hose down the floors and all the manure and everything goes into these troughs and then it goes outside. And that's just part of keeping a dairy barn clean. And here I was, just a little guy, and that little trench in the floor looked like the Grand Canyon to me. And I tried to leap across it and I didn't make it. And I was baptized that day in cow manure. And the only thing that I remember of my response was standing there saying, I stink. And my dad and my uncles, in between guffaws of laughter, are saying, boy, you sure do. and of course, like most men, it's go have your mother take care of this. and so I go back up, and I didn't even get up the steps, and my aunt and my mother were there. Don't come up here. Don't come in the house. And they took the garden hose out and started hosing me down out there, at the foot of the steps. And when they were sure that they got, most all of the defilement off of me, then they took me upstairs and put me in the bathtub. But you see, I had made myself impure. I had defiled my body. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't think we need to worry about anybody in this church falling in the manure trough, in the dairy barn. Well, no, not literally, but figuratively, we can. There are certain things that we should not be doing or saying or taking part of because just being there defiles you. We were up in, as I said, in Nacogdoches, and all of the pine trees are shedding their pollen. And after we came back, just from sitting in the parking lot, there was a coating of yellow pollen all over everything. And don't worry, in about 2 weeks, you'll see the same thing here. It was just terrible up there. And you know, the car had just been sitting in the parking lot. It hadn't been doing anything, but it had been completely covered with this pollen. And that's the same way when we allow ourselves to be places where we ought not to be, just being there makes us defiled. And so as believers, we need to make sure that we go the places we're supposed to go and don't go to the places we're not supposed to go. And then he talks about greed. And you know, what is greed? It is a desire to have what you don't have. Well, that's not bad. But also the willingness to do anything to get it. Now, I told you when I was growing up, my father worked three jobs. He was the assistant manager at Lippincott Automotive. He sold parts. Then he went and got his realtor's license. And then he worked second shift at the gas station down on the corner. And he worked these three jobs so that his family could survive. And I learned real young. I mean, don't go to Dad and ask for things like a new bike or whatever. It's not that he doesn't want to give us these things. He just doesn't have the wherewithal to do it. My first two-wheeler bike was something that he found in the dump. Had the solid, remember the solid rubber tires? And you'd run over a bump and it would just jar every bone in your body. Well, it was bad enough when we were, you know, 7 or 8 year old kids. You don't want to get on one of those bikes now. You know, at our age, it might cripple us. You know, one little trip around the block and we would be crippled for life. You know? But I knew that I just couldn't go to my father to ask him for whatever thing I wanted. And so I went out there and I sold popcorn and I learned how to tie fishing flies and I sold that door to door. And as I said before, it was probably because the people thought it was so cute that here's this little kid selling stuff door to door that I sold out all of my my inventory, but I don't care what the motive was for buying the stuff. I went out there and sold door to door, and I got the money that I wanted to have so I could buy the things that I wanted to buy. And when I was a sophomore in high school and a junior in high school, where a lot of the other kids are walking to school, I've got my car that I bought. It only cost $100, you know, $100 back then for a 64 Ford Fairlane. Yes. 3-speed on the column. Do you remember those? And I also had my... Yeah, amen. That's when cars were cars. And, I mean, you could run into a bridge abutment at 60 miles an hour and break the bridge. Right. And I also had my Harley-Davidson motorcycle, you know, because I said, I want these things, and I went to work, and I did whatever I needed to earn these things. There's nothing wrong with wanting something. It's just that when you're willing to bend the rules a little bit to get it, so that, well, I'll go out and sell some drugs, or I'll go out and do this illegal activity or that illegal activity. The Apostle Paul, and nowhere in Scripture does it say that you shouldn't aspire to succeed in life. It just says you need to, you know, do it by the rules. And when you decide not to do it by the rules, well, then that's greed. And I will tell you that in law enforcement, I never met with anybody that was behind bars who didn't suffer from one form or another of greed. It was that little green envious monster that got them behind bars because they wanted something and they were willing to do whatever they wanted to break or bend the rules to get that, and they ended up behind bars. And so Paul is saying there are some things that you don't even talk about. We're not even going to have it mentioned among you. And then he goes ahead and he says, as is proper among saints. Folks, we need to remember who we are. We are the called ones in Christ. Amen? We are saints. Now, when I mentioned that word saints this morning in the Nepalese church, I asked them what a saint was, and they started naming off, you know, the different saints. And I said, well, yeah, that may be true in some churches, but when we talk about what Paul means as a saint, Paul is talking about somebody who has accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And how many of us have made that surrender to Jesus? All of us have. And therefore, by definition, we're all saints. Now, we may not feel like a saint. We may be suffering from the effects of this fallen world so much that the aches and pains overcome that, you know, feeling that we're saints. But, you know, Paul doesn't say that you're going to feel like a saint. He simply says we are saints. Amen? Yes. That is what God has called us. Amen? And so he says there's a proper lifestyle among the saints. We just don't do the things that the rest of the world does. Remember I told you when our son, Dale Timothy, had this cough and he's allergic to codeine, and so all of the stronger cough medications wouldn't help him out because they had codeine in them. And finally our pediatrician said, this is what you need to do, is you need to make him a whiskey Slang. Whiskey, lemon, and lemon juice, and honey. And heat that up and give that to them. And at that time, we were in Bible college. We were in seminary. And we said, my goodness, that's all I need is to be caught going in, or even worse, coming out of a liquor store. And we drove to the far side of Kent County, Michigan, as far away from the campus of the Bible college as we could find. And, you know, I was looking around, making sure that nobody saw me going into this liquor store, because I recognized that I didn't want to be even accused of, you know, living that kind of a lifestyle. And so I took every effort. Not only that, but I knew if the professors at the school found out that I was visiting a liquor store, I would be spending the afternoon in somebody's office as they waited to hear my explanation of what I was doing in a liquor store. And then we went ahead and came back home, and we made up the little whiskey Sling and gave it to them, and sure enough, the cough went away. And then we found out that it's also good for teething, it's good for colic, it's good for all of these. Yes, exactly. But you see, there's certain lifestyles that it's just expected of us as saints in Jesus. And that's how we need to live it. And then he goes on, he says, there must be no filthiness and silly talk. And I think we've been around people that they just talk about things that ought not to be talked about, or coarse jesting. We don't tell dirty jokes. That's not what saints do. I doubt if anybody ever went to visit the Queen Elizabeth in England, and after they have their audience, or while they're having their audience with the Queen, say, oh, Queen, have you heard this one? You know, two men walked into a bar, or whatever that means. You know, I've never heard the end of that. You know, you don't tell those kind of jokes to the Queen. Well, guess what? She's simply the Queen because of something that happened several hundreds of years ago in the history of England. We are the children of the King. Amen? Not because of something happened to her, you know, predecessors a few hundred years ago, but because the Son of God came down from heaven and died on a cross for us. Amen? There are certain things that we don't do. But rather, if something's got to come out of your mouth, and all these three things that Paul just talked about were how we decide to use our mouth, he says, if you're going to do something with your mouth, then it should be for the giving of thanks. Amen? Praise God. How are you doing today? Amen. I am blessed coming in, and I am blessed going out. If we can't think of anything to say, then we just need to say, well, praise God. Amen? Let's use our mouth. If it can't find anything else to say, then praise God. Amen. But for the giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this you must know with certainty. And Paul is trying to get their attention. Guys, just don't, have an idea about this. I don't want you to get, confused about what I'm trying to say here. You must know this with all certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man, which this is another word for greed, or covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And we might say, oh, pastor, praise God, I might have met two or three of those requirements, but I'm not an idolater because I'm in church this morning. And so that keeps me out of being an idolater. And you're not an idolater because you go to the temple of Diana and worship at that temple. An idolater is somebody who puts anything before God. Amen? What's more important than God? Oh, pastor, I can't get up this morning. It is so early. Or I would have come to church this morning, but it's pretty early. And besides that, my friend and I went fishing, at 4:30 this morning. So, so there was no time, to come to church. Well, that means that we're willing to worship something else before we worship God, doesn't it? And so what Paul is saying here is that there are people, again, he's writing about people in the church. And if there were people in the church 2,000 years ago that fell into this category, there are people in the church today. I'm not saying in this church, but we just need to know that there are people who will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they may talk a good talk. They may walk the right walk when everybody's looking, but God isn't first in their lives. And does that mean we need to be up here every waking moment of the day, being in church, singing songs all day long? No, but He has to be first in our hearts. Amen? Besides that, we'd probably go through every song we knew within the first 5 or 6 hours. And I tell you the truth, I was losing my voice in the song service. I found out something that as I grow older, I can't do 2 or 3 hours worth of singing on a Sunday morning. My voice just doesn't hold out that long, any longer. And does that mean that we just spend all the time in church? No, but it does mean that as far as where our treasures lie, they're in heaven. For where your heart is, there is your treasure also. Amen? So my question this morning is, where lies your treasure? What is important to you? A lot of us, when we're in those child-raising years, we find out you can't have a lot of pretty things around the house. If you do, they've got to be up, out of reach of the little rugrats or whatever, or else these pretty things get destroyed. But having those pretty things doesn't mean that's where your treasure is. But while we have the things of this earth, what's more important, these things or Jesus? And I found out when I first started doing missionary work, and I would find myself on the other side of the world, and I would wake up in the middle of the night worried about the car parked in the driveway, worried about the house, worried about things. And it occurred to me, I don't own these things. These things own me. Amen? And I decided pretty early on that these can't be what's important in my life, or that's what's going to demand my love, my attention. What you love, you're going to pay attention to. Amen? Remember the courting years? You didn't go out on a date and just not pay attention to each other. If you did that, that would be your first and last date. You want the other person's total attention. And that's what God is saying. I want to be your primary love. You may be doing the other things in this world, but where does our heart always return to? Returns to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.